Moncrief on News Talk.
You wouldn't think Irish dancing would be involved in the trans debate, or that Irish dancing bodies might be threatened with legal action by the state of Florida, but that's what's going on. The North American Irish Dance Championships and Conference is currently taking place in that state, and the authorities there don't want any trans dancers taking part. But many of their fellow competitors have a different view. Gabrielle Siegel is a former competitive dancer who wrote an open letter on the subject and joins us now. Gabrielle, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You wrote this letter to give a bit of context about 2 or 3 years ago. And even then, was there noise being made about trans dancers taking part?
That's correct. So, you know, I want to start by saying that support for trans dancers within the Irish dance community, both in Ireland, in the organization at large, and in the United States, has always been very strong. But in response, you know, CLRG, our overarching body, has had a supportive, inclusive policy for trans dancers for many years, and it was never an issue. Nobody, you know, ever made a fuss over it. But basically, it came to the attention of some people in the American South, which tends to be on the more conservative side, that trans dancers were taking place in Irish dancing competitions. And basically, there was backlash then, and some people then started a petition to try and change CLRG's existing policy. So this was in 2023, in late 2023. So I, in sort of partnership with some of my friends who are trans Irish dancers, especially my friend Hayden Moon, who is a relatively prominent Irish dancer, trans Irish dancer within our community, wrote this open letter in support of trans dancers within our community, just to affirm to CLRG that this was what the overwhelming majority of Irish dancers felt, and to urge them to reaffirm their support for trans dancers, which they have since done.
Okay, yeah. Now, and did the original pressure come from this outfit, the Concerned Women for America?
Frankly, I didn't know who they were until, like, you know, a couple weeks ago. It originally came... you know, I don't really know how it started. I don't know if it began within, you know, somebody in the community taking issue or if it came from outside of the community. But as far as I know, the Concerned Women of America were not specifically involved at that time.
Right. And the petition to ban trans dancers, was that generated inside the Irish dancing community?
As far as I know, the people who created that petition, like, nobody really put their name on it as terms of having written it. So I don't know who started it. My guess is that it probably was somebody within the community, but again, like, no one was willing to own up to having written it. So I don't know who it was.
Yeah. Are there many trans Irish dancers?
No, there are some. And I also, you know, my hope is that, you know, anybody who there may be more trans Irish dancers than we know of, because obviously a lot of people, especially in the United States, may be scared to come out. But in terms of, like, openly trans competing Irish dancers, it's a very, very small number.
Right. OK, now, and the threat specifically that's being made in Florida, it seems to be driven by the Florida Attorney General, James Altmaier, and a couple of representatives, Greg Stube and Randy Fine. Are they involved
Correct.
In Irish dancing at all?
No, definitely not.
So why are they so interested in what you're doing then?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. It honestly makes no sense to me. The reason I believe, you know, knowing what I know of the political scene in America, it's a very easy way for conservative politicians to score political points. They have sort of made this a bit of a lightning rod issue, sort of nationwide. And frankly, it's ridiculous, in my opinion, the way this has become an issue in our country, in any sport, in any art form, that this would happen, because what we really are talking about, broadly speaking, is such a small number of people in any sport, in any state, that it's weird to see that they make such a big issue over this. But yes, in terms of Irish dancing, I just can't imagine why they care. It has nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And part of the argument they seem to be making is that trans dancers are taking part in Irish dancing competitions and winning them. As far as you know, is that happening a lot or at all?
Certainly trans dancers have won Irish dance competitions, which I, you know, would say I believe they have a right to do. But, you know, it's certainly not like, you know, I don't know. It just isn't a very large number of dancers. And so, you know, I think that one of the things that I think is very strange about all of this, and is sort of very telling, I think, about when people from outside the community come in and you know, say, oh, you know, make arguments that don't apply, you know, at all, in terms of saying somebody might come in with an unfair advantage or something, that which doesn't, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, frankly, science seems to show that it doesn't make sense in any sport to make that argument, but it especially doesn't make any sense in Irish dance. Most competitions in Irish dance are mixed gender. Like in, you know, like the adult, for example, the adult competition is, you know, all genders in one competition. And it tends to be won by cis women. It tends to be won, you know, women win the vast majority of competitions. And so it's very strange to make it seem like there would be any issue, even if we were talking about a competition where women and men are competing together, or where boys and girls are competing together, which is most Irish dance competitions. So it really is very telling that the people who are talking about this don't know a lot about how Irish dance works and how Irish dance competitions work.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, for people listening and what you're wondering about this, what criteria are used when they judge Irish dancing competitions? And the reason why I'm asking you that question is for, you know, some people might be listening and say, well, then it might be a physical advantage.
Of course. I mean, so basically Irish dance is judged on an extremely wide variety of criteria. Irish dance is judged basically, you know, it would be turned out feet, how high you get on your toes, how good your rhythm is by far the most important criteria. There's, you know, your flexibility, you know, your interpretation of the music. And so I think that's the thing that I find the most frustrating is I'm like, whatever argument you take to look at this, you know, again, I personally take issue with and again, science sort of backs up the notion that there would be, even if it was a purely strength-based sport, there would be no advantage anyway. But with that in mind, that also just isn't how Irish dance is judged. And moreover, Irish dance, the way it works is that the, you know, reasons it's sort of split into sort of men's and women's competitions is that it's judged based on criteria that are sort of ostensibly related to like how, you know, I mean, I think this is kind of silly, but like how women, you know, like women are sort of more focused on like grace and flexibility, whereas the men's competition is more about like sharp rhythm. So if anything, you know, you would sort of say, there's no way anything could give you an advantage in that. And at the end of the day, the only thing that's ever going to give you an advantage is your hard work that you put into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now the event that's taking place in Florida specifically, is it in a hotel complex?
Yeah, like a convention center hotel complex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of making legal threats in Florida, like it's not a public place. So
no.
What's Correct. The rationale there?
As far as I can tell, there isn't one. I think that as far as I can tell, it's just politicians trying to score, you know, cheap, low blow legal points, as far as I can see. I mean, not legal points, not political points. Yeah, this is a private event. You know, this has nothing to do. And that's, I think, the thing that is so silly to me about these, you know, quote unquote legal threats is that there is no legal threat to be made. You know, I mean, obviously, Florida has, you know, some really, you know, upsetting laws on the books regarding trans athletes in public schools. And that includes both, you know, sort of primary schools, high schools, et cetera, and universities. But this is not that. This has nothing to do with that. This is a private organization hosting a private competition. Obviously, CLRG is based in Ireland. You know, we're operating by rules that govern sort of world qualification criteria for, you know, our organization. Has nothing to do with, you know, laws in Florida that might pertain to public schools only. Obviously, again, I find those sort of laws very upsetting to begin with, but they don't govern this competition. It has nothing to do with this.
Yeah. I think one of the arguments they said that we're going to use was that it was false advertising to say there was which is, I don't get the logic of that. As far as I understand it, there was one 14-year-old trans girl who was slated to take part. Do you know whether she did or not?
I don't know. To be honest, you know, I don't just know a lot about you know, any one individual dancer in this situation, just because, you know, all the people we're talking about here, of the trans dancers who are in the Irish dance community, most of them are minors. And so, you know, I, you know, think it's just important to respect their privacy and let them make the decisions that are right for them. So I don't know, you know, who competed this week or, you know, who is still slated to compete or not. Yeah.
Now, in the letter that you wrote, there is a line there about condemning harassment, bullying and abuse. Has that taken place?
Recently, I've seen much less of it. It absolutely has taken place. I think that it was extremely disheartening to see a couple of years ago that there were people within the Irish dance community, including some teachers, which was especially upsetting. But people within the community who were, you know, again, at the end of the day, I think it's still very upsetting to, you know, to already take the position that trans dancers shouldn't be able to dance in the competition that's right for them. But a lot of people were, you know, seeking out specific dancers and saying horrible things to them, saying horrible things about them on the internet. And again, at the end of the day, we're talking about children and people bullying children, which was just horrific. In the wake of CLRG and IDTNA, which is the Irish Dance Teachers Association of North America, reaffirming their policy in favor of trans dancers. I think a lot of those voices within the Irish dance community have gotten a lot quieter and have been much more marginalized. Obviously, you know, I am not trans, so I don't know what people are experiencing within the community directly. It seems to me like a lot of the abuse this time around has come from outside of the community. Certainly, though, it has happened within the community. And I know, at least, you know, with this sort of latest round of backlash from the state of Florida, there have been a very small number of Irish dancers who have, you know, have supported, you know, that letter and have sort of voiced that, you know, their agreement with it. That said, the voices in support have been like incomparably more numerable. Like, just so many more people who have voiced their support, which has just been really just honestly amazing to see. And I've talked with friends who are trans dancers within our community who have, you know, seem to really have felt the same way and have really felt that outpouring of love. So while that has existed, and I certainly would imagine there is still some measure of it, it seems to me also that like the voices in favor and the voices in support are now much more numerous and much louder.
Yeah. Now, this particular event that's taking place right now in Florida, does it always take place in Florida?
No. So this is the North American Irish Dance Championships, which is basically the national championships for North America. Although dancers do come from all over the world to compete in it, which is really cool. But basically the way it works is that every year it's hosted by a different region within North America. So it cycles between the regions, you know, the New England region, Western US region, Eastern Canada region, et cetera. And then once they've sort of gotten through all the regions, then the Irish Dance Teachers Association of North America will host it for 1 year. So they're actually hosting it this year, but then every region will get an opportunity to host it, and they can host it wherever they want. So often they will host it within their region. So next year, Western Canada is hosting it, and I believe they will be hosting it in Western Canada. Theoretically, you know, a region could still hold it in another state outside their region, but it hasn't been in Florida in a long time. Yeah, not very often is it in Florida.
I'm just wondering, like, has anything even vaguely similar to this happened in any other part of North America?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. So maybe having it in Florida, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think if nothing else, I mean, I certainly can't speak to how these decisions are made in terms of where things get hosted. But, you know, certainly if I were, you know, the regions, it would give me pause because it is, I think, very frustrating. One of the things I think that has really been very clear to me, and even just within the Irish dance community, just sort of dancers themselves, is it's just extremely like frustrating and unpleasant to have people from outside the community telling us what to do, how to run our competitions, what we think. So I think that, you know, knowing what I know of sort of just the Irish dance community on the whole, I would think that, you know, they'd want to minimize that and sort of be able to run our competitions in peace. But I can't, you know, I can't speak to how they make that decision in the future. I know people also like having the competition near Disney World, so I don't know.
Gabrielle, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Gabrielle Siegel there, former competitive Irish dancer and obviously not a resident of Florida.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.